Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM with Joe Cocker and Delta Lady. Good morning, thanks for tuning in. It's Friday, it's the weekend. It's Darren and Mel here on The Breakfast Show with Broomhead and Source Solicitors. And we did promise a busy old show today, did we not?
We did,
yes. Our first guest this morning is Rebecca Powell. Welcome.
Hello.
How are you? Thank you very much.
I'm very good, thank you. Yes.
Excellent, excellent. So who is Rebecca Powell? You've probably heard the name before because you used to be at HTV for a while, didn't you?
I was there for a very long time, yes, I think.
How long were you there?
Oh, God, about 15 years.
I remember
at least
watching you when I was a kid.
That's a good start.
Listeners, we know that's not true. If you could see him this morning, you know it's the other way round.
Go Becky. No, brilliant. No, I did used to watch you. In fact, we have met once before when I was a wannabe TV person. I used to hang around HTV every now and again. You know, you get loads.
Did you not make it then?
No, blatantly. That's why I've had to resort to this. Exactly. So, your background is obviously in TV. Is that journalism, TV, or because you do a lot of gardening stuff, don't you?
Yes, which I specialised in gardening now. Yes, but hopefully we'll talk about it in a minute. But I started off actually. I specialised in the environment and the countryside. I actually did a degree in the science.
Of course, you were
degree.
The environment reporter.
I was
weren't
the
you?
Environment. I was actually the first environment reporter on television in the country.
Really?
And HTV did it as a bit of an experiment. It was my idea because I'd trained in it,
yeah.
But it was in the very early days before anyone even knew about it. They yeah. didn't even talk about the environment. There was nothing on the radio or the television. It was like a huge gap. But because I was very interested in it and I was brought up on a farm, I was really conscious of it. And it was in the days, which you will remember, being your age, do you remember all the days of...
God, dig
away.
Do you
remember Friends of the Earth and yeah. all the massive campaigns, yeah. you know, to save the planet?
That's it.
Well, I was fired up by all that yeah. when I left university. A guy called Jonathan Porritt was my hero, who was the head of Friends of the Earth. And I thought, OK, how can I do my bit? I know, I'll become a journalist and I will... talk about the subject and I will introduce it. You know, that was, you know what you're like when you're young and keen and yeah. you've got all these ambitions and you think you're going to make a real difference. And that's actually why I decided to become a journalist. And obviously I was very, very interested in writing and performing.
Did you purposely,
and stuff,
did you want to be on the telly or did that just
yes,
come around?
Yes, I always thought I would like to eventually get onto the television. But it all, you know what it's like in the media, lots of things happen by accident.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was an accident. I think it's fair to say.
You know, you put yourself in the position and then things just happen. But I'd started on radio, actually. I started, interestingly, because it is quite fun to come in here. I literally...
Yeah, radio's great.
I started at a local radio station called Radio West, which you won't even remember.
Radio
it doesn't
West.
Exist anymore. And if people watched, there was a television series on at the time called With Eddie Shoestring in it.
Yeah.
And it was all filmed at the Watershed in Bristol.
Oh, of course, it wanted
and
to be
it was
GWR,
about a local,
didn't it?
Yeah,
yes,
radio
that
station.
It,
and that's
yeah, yeah.
where I worked. So then I worked for nothing, for no money, for a year.
Oh, we've done
so
that.
So you know how it was.
We'd do
and,
that now.
and actually, I had three other jobs I was juggling yeah. at the same time. You know, I was a singing waitress at night.
Were you really?
Up the road in Park Street. I was a tennis coach at lunchtime. I did all these different jobs to get some money because I wasn't paid by the radio station. Yeah. And this
but the thing is with radio, you'll understand why you do it for free because you love it so it's just...
you love it, yeah. but B, of course, I didn't go to media school or anything and I had no training.
Yeah.
So it was a brilliant place to get my training and they sent me out, you know, as they do reporting. I started off just doing secretarial work, to be honest, just to get in. And then they knew about my interest, so they said, okay. I proposed a countryside programme to them. So I came out with this programme called Country Connections, which in fact is Country File, but it was about 20 years too early. And I did this programme, and it literally, when I first started, it took me 6 days a week to do half an hour.
Brilliant.
You know, and it was on the days when they edited tape.
Yeah,
and the tape used to snap in the middle of the programme.
The little China graph pencil to do your editing, and the little razor blade thing.
Blade.
I know.
And actually, one of the guys who helped me learn to edit was Johnny Walker, you know, the
yes,
DJ who's now on, well, he was
Radio
on Radio 2. Luxembourg.
He's at Radio 2
and
now,
then he went to Radio West, and then he went on to do lots of things, but on Radio 2. And he was, people like, there were all sorts of really interesting people working there. But anyway, then I moved on to Radio 4.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Well, the National Farmers Union. I came down here and to Taunton to work for a proper job. Got a proper paid job in the National Farmers Union, which was an agricultural sort of political job, but with a lot of writing and broadcasting. So then I broadcast on Radio Bristol all their farming reports every morning. And then from there, I went to Radio 4.
Wow.
So that was my huge break, really, to Farming Today. To produced and presented Farming Today.
So you are the West Country's answer to John Craven, then, really?
That's
aren't
you? It. Well, I think I look a bit better than he does.
You look a damn sight better than he does. Listen, Becky, we're going to. Could you mind if I call you Becky, or do you hate that? Do you hate that? You do, don't you?
It's not. Yes. I don't think I'm a natural Becky.
Sorry. I've got Rebecca's in our family, so okay, Rebecca.
People call me lots of versions of it, but not necessarily Becky.
Bex, Rebecca. Okay, Rebecca. We'll hold it there for 2 seconds. Okay, and we'll come back and talk more shortly. It's Tone FM. It's 7 minutes to 8, and Rebecca Powell is our guest this morning. And I wonder if Rebecca's magic being here can help encourage Peter Andre to phone the show as our celebrity caller. That will become apparent just after 8. There's a frown above, but details on the way. And of course, we'll check out what's happening on the roads next. Do you know what? It's actually flown by this morning. It's been really, really busy. We've been guest galore. Peter Andre, in case you're wondering, hasn't phoned. Mel, come on in. Look at her stuffing her face with that cake. You're vile. Our guest this morning is Rebecca Powell from Powell Productions, which is your company.
It is, yes.
And you do a lot of publicity stuff for the likes of Hestacombe.
I do, yes.
And who else do you do it for?
Lots of gardening type clients, yeah. And lots of individual projects. Mm. Largely, I often focus on things to do with the countryside, mm-hmm. farming, food, and gardening, which is right, okay. Those are my specialist areas. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I did all the publicity, for example, for Taste the Harvest and Taste the Tatties for 1,000 local
Taste
school
children. Tatties.
Taste
brilliant.
The Tatties,
brilliant.
1,000 local school children, I think it was last year, mm. to promote the idea of where their food comes from.
Yeah.
So I worked with the people running all that, you know. That's just an example mm-hmm. of one of the projects locally that I've been involved in.
Would you go around
promote.
To schools and colleges and stuff to do presentations about it as well?
Well, I will now that I'm yeah. falling into politics. Yeah, I hope we'll get out to talk to people a lot about you know what's going on around them and why they should get engaged. And obviously, whatever I do, my interest in the countryside and food, farming, growing, and you know, and our spaces within our urban environment,
yeah.
I will try and always include those because mm-hmm. I think they're terribly important wherever you live, not just out in the countryside. So you know, in Taunton, we've got all these big development projects, but you know, mm-hmm. it's so important to make sure we keep our green spaces.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, just going back to Hestacombe, there's always something going on at Hestacombe, and I think they've done a great job up there over the last few years. What they've brought it, you know, and what they've brought to the county town.
I totally agree, and it's all been independent,
yeah,
really.
Absolutely.
A lot of it's been grant funded, but you know, through the genius of Philip White, mm-hmm. who's got it all moving, you know. It's turned into a major attraction mm. for us in Taunton, and it's now the most visited garden in Somerset, and
oh,
it's
wow.
in the top 20 British gardens.
That's great.
But it's
news.
Much more than
yeah,
a garden, isn't
it is.
It, when
yeah,
you go up there, and all the activities. I mean, yeah. they had a dog day the other day.
Mm-hmm.
They have all kinds of activities up there now, and weddings, so it's much more than just a garden.
Mm. Now, the Lumina is coming up, which I know you want to talk about as well. Just explain what that is.
Yes, well, this is the second year it's running. We did it last year for the first time, and it was very successful whilst being a bit of an experiment. And it's all about light installation art. So
right,
it's all
okay.
about what you call immersive art, and it's outside in the gardens in the dark.
Great.
And a very specialist light installation artist called Ulf Pedersen.
Ulf Pedersen.
He is the masterminding it.
Yeah.
He did it last year and he's building on it. And so you go around, you have to wait till it's dark, obviously, through the 18th century landscape garden, around the Edwardian garden, and you will suddenly come upon some amazing projection, really. Mm-hmm. A lot of it's done with projections. And I've got a picture here. I know you can't see it because it's radio, but people who came last year will remember that over the Pear Pond, which is a big lake, so it's
yeah.
all dark, but you're aware it's a lake, up in the sky was this enormous, moving, sort of ethereal fish.
Great.
And you thought, how has that fish got into the sky?
Yeah.
It was fantastic. And there were lots of other things like that as you went around the garden. And there were psychedelic projections on the house,
mm-hmm.
Like purple dancing flowers.
Is this all done with lasers and stuff?
Yeah, it's very technical, actually. Mm. It's very, very scientific, in
yeah.
fact. And it's quite difficult to set up. It is very specialist. Which is why I need specialist artists to do it. And this guy all works around the world mm. with another group of installation artists, and they go under the name of Power Plant, and they've done creations like this in Sydney and in Hong Kong, you know, major places around the world. So it's great that they're coming to Hestacombe mm-hmm. to do it. Well, he's coming personally. It's his live solo
yeah.
show. And interestingly, he says, in a way, it's almost better in the countryside because it is darker
yeah, of course
at
it
night.
Is.
So you see
And you've
the
obviously
effect.
Got the character of the scenery, the background, the trees and this and that. Even though it's dark, I think it just
yes,
adds...
Yes, it's quite magical going around a place like that in the dark as
can
well.
Can you see it all from a distance as well? Because obviously where Hesticombe is...
Yes.
You know, for those that can see Hesticombe from where they live sort of further into town...
You'd be hard-pressed to see it from town, but I'll tell you what, there's going to be some surprise installations... This is like guerrilla installations.
Right, okay.
This is you're the first people to know about this.
Is this the news that you were telling me about?
From the 30th of August, look out on Facebook, on Hesticombe's Facebook, because around the area are going to be some of these guerrilla projections on buildings.
Brilliant.
They're not going to tell you where.
Oh, I like it.
So
I like a teaser. It's a good teaser to have.
Definitely some
as well,
in Taunton. Popping up.
Right, can you think of tall buildings where you've got chocolate
you've got
all over
to
your
have
mouth?
The right,
you are
have
vile.
The right kind of building. Some in
County
Wellington.
Hall?
I'm not going to give anything away, and you've got to look at Facebook.
So, 30th of August.
From then on. We'll be tweeting and everything as well.
Oh, this is really exciting.
Yeah, I think it's great fun.
So it's not going to be like Blackpool Illuminations, then?
No, it's much more arty than that.
No. That
not,
is Taxville County.
Exactly. This is not Downmarket. This is very, very trendy. But I will tell you the dates of Illumina.
Go on.
Because tickets are already selling out. Mm-hmm. So look on the website.
Yeah.
So it's over the weekend of the 6th, 7th and 8th of September.
Okay, so it's only a couple of weeks away,
Yeah, and then the next weekend, the 13th, 14th and 15th of September.
Okay.
So... that and it's a family. You can bring your whole family actually, and have a lovely evening, and have a drink and a bit of food as well while you wait for it to get dark.
Yeah.
Or actually, there's food on the way around in it by the orangery, sort of outdoor fest. Yeah. You know. So I think it'll be lovely.
Excellent. Well, hopefully the weather's going to be there, because it'll be a real nightmare, wouldn't it? If all the work that's gone into something like this and then it gets misty or something.
It would, but it will still work in the rain or the mist. It will.
I was going to say the mist. It will probably be really quite effective, wouldn't it?
So don't let that put you off. But what they do say is don't bring a torch.
No.
Because that will ruin it. It ruins the effect.
Or a lightsaber. If you're a Star Wars fan, don't bring your lightsaber just in case.
Exactly.
Right, we'll talk more with... Are you okay to hang around for the next 20 minutes or so?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely not fine.
Okay. Excellent. We're talking to Rebecca Powell.
Anyway, I got through that. And then once you're on the parliamentary candidates list, you can actually apply for any seat in the country.
All right,
and that's actually what most people want to do, because most people just want to be an MP.
They don't care where.
And so they don't care where it is. Whereas me, I only went into it with the view of winning the Taunton seat. So I'd already limited my options.
Yeah. Yeah, but why would you want to do it in a constituency that you don't know about?
Well, but even Margaret Thatcher stood lots of times before she got selected. I mean, the guy here, Jeremy Brown, went through a number of processes before he actually got selected to represent a seat. I mean, it's unusual to be selected first time.
Yeah.
And for me, it was now or never, so it was now or not, you know, because of my age, because of the age of my children, because of everything was absolutely at the right moment, and I feel passionately I want to do it now. Mm-hmm. So I was limiting my options.
Yeah.
But I did a lot of background work and research in order to hone myself up for the process. And then I had to, when it finally opened, there's an application, then you get an interview with the association, that's about 35 people, then you get selected from that, and they, as you know, held an open primary here in Taunton.
Mm-hmm.
So the last three people got into the final round, which they'd advertised in the local press, the Gazette, and you probably mentioned it on Turn FM actually, that there was going to be an open primary, because it's very unusual. I think there've only been four in the country.
That's right.
So Taunton is, well ahead, which is great.
That was why I invited you to come in, because I was a bit, I thought it was quite useful for people to know what it was, because there was quite a lot of talk about it.
There was a lot of talk about it, and I think I take my hat off actually to the party for going through this, because it was quite a risky process. Because what happens was anyone in the constituency could sign up to come to this evening, which was held at Richard Hirsch's. Mm-hmm. And 250 people turned up, and they could have been of any political persuasion or none.
Yeah.
And they did get people like that. And it's a good idea, I think, because it meant that people engaged with politics, they thought, what is this all about? You know, let's choose somebody we want. Mm. And they were all allowed to vote.
Wow.
And it was quite scary being the person taking part in it.
I was going to say, was it nerve? You must have been like you were properly in the lion's den.
It was incredibly nerve-wracking. Really, really nerve-wracking. Also, because there were quite a few people I knew in the audience, so doing things in front of people you know is always a bit harder.
Yeah.
And But it was a good process, and you had half an hour of questions from the floor, you know, set questions, three candidates, and the other two candidates were very good candidates. Yeah. And then you had a vote, and then you had a re-vote. You know, it was really nerve-wracking. But in the
end, it kind of primes you for what potentially could be. It must make you realise what it must be like on election night.
Well, it was probably a very good learning. Well, it was a very good learning curve for everybody.
Do you think your background in media helped?
Yes, an awful definitely.
Lot? Helped because, you deal with the situation.
Yeah, because of course I'd had no training as such. But as you know, if you're in the media, and I've done a lot of live presenting, not necessarily about politics, but some actually. I used to do a programme called The West This Week on ITV West, which was often live interviews with politicians. But just the fact that you can stand up in front of an audience with a microphone and that you know how to engage with people, I think that's an enormous benefit, yes.
OK. Right, OK, we'll talk more with Rebecca in just a moment about the stuff that you're doing now. We'd like to invite you to help us try and encourage... Morning, Gilly. Peter Andre to the show. Now, during that, whilst we were chatting to Rebecca then, the phone rang and Mel was stood at me laughing. So, who was that on the phone?
It was Rebecca's husband.
Oh. No, it wasn't.
Hilarious.
What was he? Was he talking about my car?
He was returning the call, yeah.
That is absolutely brilliant. I love it. Don't you love live
then
radio?
Then we were getting excited thinking hilarious. It was Peter Andre and it was just
do you know
my
what,
husband.
Do you know the way when you were talking, Mel was stood laughing at me in the doorway and I was thinking, oh my God, I wonder if that's Peter Andre actually phoned it. Because it was exactly the right time.
He's quite good looking, you know.
Well, your husband or Peter
he's
Andre?
He's not Mr. Powell, he's Mr. Clark.
Oh.
Oh. Is that, I am Mrs. Clark. I'm two people.
So you've got a confused identity there. I'm a bit like that.
There you go. That's why we're all on radio.
So, so what we do here is try and invite Peter Andre to phone the show. Let me introduce you to Gilly. Gilly's from the Ministry of Cake. This is Rebecca Powell.
Hello, Gilly. Lovely.
And we're also going to give somebody some cake in a moment.
Is that going to be me?
No. Well, not on this occasion. Because we changed the dates that you were coming in very last minute. Otherwise, we could
this
have arranged
it. It's a poor
that.
Excuse,
it
isn't
is
it?
A terrible excuse, isn't it? But first, we've got to try and see if Peter Andre is going to phone the show. So, first of all, is he going to phone the show today, Mel?
No.
No? Gilly, is he going to phone the show today?
Yes.
You're going to say yes. You've got an air of confidence.
Yes. Well, didn't his brother message
oh, yes,
Amy
let's mention,
on
that
Facebook
was it, yeah.
yesterday? So that's another closer connection.
Isn't
it? I think he might ring.
Peter Andre's brother posted Chris. On our Facebook page. What's he called again?
Chris.
Chris Andre posted on our Facebook page because he'd heard... what's her face? Yes, I can't remember. I'm all over the place at the moment.
Shush. So Chris Andre posted on our Facebook page yesterday because he'd heard Amy Holland sing a version of Mysterious Girl, which was absolutely stunning. So well done to Amy for that. And yeah, he posted and hopefully they saw the message and passed it on.
That was exactly what I was about to say. So thank you very much.
I think he might phone in because he knows that I'm on the show, don't you?
Well, this is what I was just
he
coming to ask
you.
He
could be very environmental.
Yeah,
you never know.
Absolutely.
Or he might like gardening.
Are you a fan of Peter Andre?
I think he's lovely.
Do you?
Yeah. My children used to watch that, you know, trashy old TV show he was on. But, you know, one does get hooked into
oh,
it.
Oh, it's the jungle thing. You know. Yeah, yeah. I bet it's a
don't
guilty pleasure.
Don't listen to that, Andrew. No, yeah. lovely. Yeah. We'd love to see you around Jordan.
No, so is he going to phone the show today?
I
yes or no?
I think so.
You're
I
saying
think,
yes?
I think he is going to,
definitely
yeah.
an air of positivity.
Yeah, yeah. God,
would you
yes.
Would you like to offer an incentive? Would you like to offer him a
yes,
day's...
Yes, I've got him an incentive here.
What's that?
And we might talk about gardening in a minute, so he might want to phone in because I brought a special present in from my garden, which is...
Come on.
What do you think it is?
Well, it looked like a dead bird.
Mel, what do you think it is?
It looks like some kind of fruit or maybe seed.
Is it a kumquat?
Ministry Quot. Of Cake Lady?
Quat.
I reckon it's a bulb of some sort.
Okay.
Bulb?
Da-da-da.
Okay.
What
go
it
on,
is
then,
is...
Reveal.
A beetroot.
Woo!
From my garden.
Did you grow that?
I grew that. I'm so proud of it. I brought you one for a present.
That is wonderful. Can I hold your beetroot, please, Rebecca? Where are we going with this?
Yeah,
we
need that is
yeah,
from
get,
my garden.
Get a quick photo.
And
we
I'm
need to,
so proud of it because my beetroot have been
come
so
here.
Good this year.
We're going to take this photo and put this up on Facebook as soon as possible, okay?